Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. And running on a Thursday afternoon in the nation's capital. Some might call it a throwdown Thursday. Linnell Willingham, the voice of Howard University football, and Mr. 4-10, and I would never, ever think to argue, except for the 45-minute car ride on the way in, when we probably had about 15 arguments. We would never think to argue, actually, on the air, though.
The
good afternoon.
The voice of Howard, you put that in the show tweet
as
well?
You are.
You are a cock-a-doodle-doo.
Are you not the voice of Howard University football?
Yeah, I am,
okay.
Chris Russell.
I just couldn't get the proper tag. Otherwise, I was going to tag them to give them some love. Either way, it is good to see you. How are you, sir? Having fun so far?
It's hot as hell in here already.
Yeah.
Every day we come in here, or every Wednesday and Thursday we come in here. It's hot. Yeah.
Denton Day is like like an iguana. He wants it he wants it like 90 degrees in the studio.
Yeah,
I can't even blame Coach Sheehan because he's not here.
He's an iguana, all right.
I mean, Denton's going
to have to play peacemaker on Sunday if Washington craps the bed against the Giants. I'll tell you that.
Well, wait a second. You don't actually think they're going to lose on Sunday, do you?
Well, we were talking about it, and you think it's irrelevant. I think it's relevant. The books happen to think the game's going to be a hell of a lot closer.
I don't think it's irrelevant that they could go 2-0. They could easily lose this game. I mean, I have been down this road a billion times, boys and girls, in 15 years with this.
I'm like having deja vu right now.
With this franchise?
I am having deja vu.
What?
I think the last time this actually happened, I said I was having deja vu. This, like, reminds me of one of the first shows we did together.
Which was?
Chase Young in his debut.
Oh.
This feels like that.
Hmm.
I don't know why, but I saw all of this before. But you said on the phone, it's verbatim, you all's favorite Monday through Friday midday host. It's irrelevant that the spread opened up at 3 points.
Yeah.
Washington was 3-point favorites.
Yep. Absolutely irrelevant.
They are now 1.5 point favorites.
It is only relevant to Coach Sheehan, J.P. Finley, apparently you, which I was not aware of, and the Sharks off the coast of Cambodia. That's the only – and BetQL.
It's one of the many, many storylines that we have going into the game. And shocker, the Giants, who, for my money, suck as bad as we do, one of their edge rushers can't get his foot out of his mouth.
Yeah, so,
after having no pressures on Sunday, by the way.
So it's interesting, okay, that you bring this up, because we're going to talk about both here in the first hour and what will be the narrative if they lose this game, however they lose it, and they're 0-2 having lost to a team that many people feel is worse than they are. Whether they are or they aren't, ultimately everything gets proven on the field. But you mentioned Kayvon Thibodeau, who in 2 years out of Oregon as, the number 5 overall pick 2 years ago, has, kicked the Commander's ass, might be strong, but he has had a significant impact, right?
You look at his numbers against the Commanders versus the field, you can say he's kicking the Commander's ass.
Okay, fine. However you want to paint that portrait, okay? Significant impact, kick their ass. There is no doubt that he has had some of his best work against the Washington Commanders. But for him yesterday, after picking on a really good reporter for no reason, Jordan Renan of ESPN, who I've known for years, Jordan's one of the best. Jordan is an absolute professional, does his job very, very well. And for him to refuse to answer questions and then to be like, next question, I'm not. And then yesterday,
Jordan was critical of their lackluster pass rush that they spent so much money on.
Well, he should have been, because they didn't get home enough. They didn't affect the game. They didn't affect the game. But maybe some of the metrics were a little bit more pleased. Whatever. So Kayvon Thibodeau, who has had all the success against the Washington Commanders, the Giants in Kayvon Thibodeau's career are 3-0-1 against the Burgundy and Yellow Mustard Pants. They are coming to Northwest Stadium for the home opener for Jaden Daniels. Not even sold out.
No. It is sold out.
Yes, okay, it is. I missed that while I was doing pre-show stuff. All right, so now they're saying it's officially a sellout, barely. Okay, fine, barely a sellout. Great, congratulations. They are coming here, and they got their asses beat on Sunday at MetLife Stadium to the Minnesota Vikings. At least the Commanders got shredded by a pretty good offense. I don't consider the Minnesota Vikings outside of Justin Jefferson a good offense. Christian Darrisaw, good left tackle, obviously. I should. Justin Jefferson and Christian Darrisaw, that's about it.
Here's the better way to phrase it, Chris. They lost to Sam Darnold.
And that's where I was going with that. So Kayvon Thibodeau runs his mouth yesterday, and when he's asked about the rivalry between two NFC East foes, here's what he said.
I would say Washington in particular, you know, they're not really a rival, but they're in our same division. There we go. They're in our division, so it's always a great game. You know, we see them twice a year, so I'm excited. Jaden Daniels is a great quarterback. He's from Cali, you know, grew up knowing him, grew up with him, so I understand, you know, he's a great player, and I'm excited to go against him.
All right, so what he said outside of the first 5 seconds is totally fine, totally normal, totally good, professional, mature, what have you. But why did he have to say that they're not a rival? Why did he have to say, basically, hey, man, we don't take them seriously.
You basically said we're irrelevant.
Yeah, they're irrelevant. Now, he didn't even know the whole in-division, in-conference thing. Maybe he tripped up. He corrected himself. Whatever. Somebody helped him with that. Fine. He was very complimentary to Jaden Daniels. This is not a Kayvon Thibodeau is an idiot kind of thing. But for him to say, I would say Washington in particular, they're not really a rival. How else are you supposed to take that other than he doesn't think they're good,
Chris,
and he doesn't think they're significant?
Chris, I honestly, to give full transparency, was hesitant about opening up the show with this, but now after hearing this ass clown, it gets me to understand. As a lifelong fan of this team, a younger fan that has not seen the prosperity of the team, it is a friendly reminder that outside of the DMV, we are irrelevant. That outside of the DMV, no one gives a rat's ass about the Washington Commanders. The most noteworthy thing about this franchise is that they have a new owner. That is why we get national run. That is normally what the conversation is focused on.
Well, Jaden Daniels.
And Jaden Daniels now. Yeah. But I'm saying for the large part of the past year and a half, up until April, when Jaden became the number one conversation, we were known for scandals, changes in ownership, and losing to the Giants.
I mean,
I don't remember the last time we beat the Giants.
I do.
It was under
2022, week two, Thursday night football.
On a game we cheated.
Right.
And shouldn't have won.
The Giants have won.
I remember that.
Four of the last five, and the other one was a tie, right? Week two, Thursday night.
Shh, Dr. Sabah. Taylor Heineke started that game.
And they came from behind. Remember, they had that big wheel route to J.D. McKissic down the right sideline just when you think they were about to lose. Then I think it was, I want to say it was like a backup tight end who's been out of the league for Ricky Seals-Jones. Yeah,
Ricky Seals-Jones.
Ricky Seals-Jones.
Yes.
Caught the touchdown
pass. And then he was on the Giants like the next week.
Exactly. Right. Crazy. So that was the last time the Commanders or the Washington football
Nick
team
Gates
or by any
leg.
Other name, yeah. Good call, beat the New York Giants. So Kayvon Thibodeau knows one thing. He knows dominance on the field in the win-loss column, 3-0-1. And I just pulled up his numbers just to make sure. You mentioned, basically, and we all know, we all remember how impactful he's been. And it's not just as a pass rusher. That's one thing I want to point out. He has done a really good job, by my memory, of shutting down them on the edge, on the run, anchoring, sealing the edge, and blowing stuff up. But for whatever it's worth, in four games, again, 3-0-1, 5.5 sacks, 15 tackles, 11 or with I'm sorry, 15 solo tackles, 11 assisted tackles. So that's 26 combined tackles. Here's a number for you: 7 quarterback hits and 8. I'm sorry, 8 quarterback hits, 7 tackles for loss. Now tackles for loss, obviously 5.5 sacks. Okay, fine, but that shows you some run stops too. In that,
he's
so
impactful.
Kayvon Thibodeaux has kicked their ass. He's owned them. He's made them their biatch.
Yeah.
Okay. That being said, I gotta be honest with you. If I'm Dan Quinn, you want to talk about slogans on the wall. You want to talk about T-shirt campaigns. You want to talk about big badass whooping stick statements and all this nonsense that all you people buy into and believe and go gaga over. I'd put that on the wall. I'd put that on every locker. I'd put it on every damn door. I'd put it everywhere. I'd put it all over the stadium, on every seat, in every locker, in every orifice that you could possibly put. Kayvon Thibodeaux thinks you suck. Kayvon Thibodeaux said, I would say Washington in particular, they're not really a rival. You could shorten it up. I would say they're not really a rival. Washington's not a rival. Put it everywhere. Wake somebody the bleep up.
They need it.
Wake somebody the bleep up.
They need
it. He's got no right to say this.
Not
even though he has kicked their ass, even though they have kicked their ass, even though we know that this team struggles against Kayvon Thibodeaux and the Giants, and it is going to be a struggle again this Sunday. If they're lucky enough to win, they're lucky enough to win, period. This is not going to be easy. This is not going to be flapjacks on a Sunday morning. This is not going to be that. Okay, but I would, you want, put anywhere, anytime, anyhow, any piece, any this, any that. Shut the bleep up and put this on a damn T-shirt. Go ahead. You want to market a T-shirt
yeah,
like you like
go
to do?
Team980.com.
Go market that. Yeah, go. Yeah, the Team980 shop. That doesn't exist. Go there. Go to the Team980shop.com right now and buy your Kayvon Thibodeaux. I would say Washington is not really a rival shirt. Go ahead. Go
so,
right now. $15.99. I've got it for you.
So it's disrespectful for a lot of different reasons. In reality, Washington in New York is one of the most historic rivalries in professional sports. Like, if we're being honest, yeah, in terms of the longevity and how long these two teams have been at it.
I grew up on Long Island watching the Giants and the Redskins go at it in the 86 conference championship game. 17-0, I think, Giants.
But I think what I said in the open is still remains true. It just is a gentle, humble reminder of how irrelevant we have been. And I think
Is it fair?
Is Washington a rival?
All right. Is it fair coming from a second year, now a third year player?
I think it's even more fair coming from him because, quite literally, he's never lost to Washington. He doesn't know
about losing to Washington. But you can't determine a rivalry based on 4 matchups and two games a year, can you?
I mean, when you think of the high stakes matchups.
Because Michigan has beaten Ohio State the last 3 years in a row and now won a national championship. Is that not a rivalry?
I understand that. But even before Washington's last win against New York, they had some struggles against the Giants, hadn't they?
There have been
a lot of irrelevant Giant Washington games. In particular, I remember Robert Griffin III, one of his final starts with Chris Thompson in the 37 jersey up at the Meadowlands. Like, we just haven't been relevant.
Listen, I would say the Giants have had the upper hand. There is no doubt, and I don't even know what the overall series numbers are. I don't really care. They've had the upper hand.
But to
say that Washington basically is irrelevant, doesn't matter, doesn't exist, doesn't count, whatever analogy you want to use, to me, coming from a third-year player, it's over-the-top hyperbole.
It is, but like, maybe that's what the Giants need. Right? Think about this. We're the 2-0-1 teams coming into this week. Two teams that should be oozing with desperation. Two regimes honestly going in opposite directions. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, more so Joe Shane than Daboll, I think, is on the hot seat. Joe Shane made moves this offseason to win now. That is why they refused to go the route of a developmental quarterback instead of drafting someone that can come in and help right away like they did with Neighbors.
Well, they tried.
They tried.
But they had already committed. I mean, you can say, well, go the route of a developmental quarterback. But when you've committed the kind of money that they committed to Daniel Jones after the playoff run, he got hurt.
He got hurt, but he wasn't good before he got hurt.
Sucks is strong. I'm sorry. I don't think Daniel Jones is as bad as everybody else.
Daniel Jones is terrible.
Daniel Jones is not terrible when he's healthy. The problem is he's never healthy. That's the problem.
Is this your inner New York coming out? You just feel like you have to go to bat?
Here, the Commanders, I don't have the overall record in front of me. This is just what I found because from the Commanders notes. The Commanders have a 40-50-2 all-time record at home.
Against the Giants.
We know that this team has had no home field advantage for a very long time. We know that this team
loses.
Since like
2015.
Longer than that.
I would say that there was that.
A home field advantage in the 2012 year when people got all in a lather. That lasted less than a
Thanksgiving year. Or the game right before Thanksgiving against Dallas at home, DJ Swearinger punches the ball out from Dak Prescott. That was a dominant Washington crowd against Dallas at home, and I think that was probably the last time you could say that. That was right before Alex Smith broke his leg.
It was in that 2018.
Year.
Okay.
So 2018.
But I mean, select games to me don't matter.
I understand. You're talking about a consistent advantage, no matter who the opponent is.
So the Giants have beaten the Commanders by any other name 10 more times in Washington. Okay. Never mind what they've done at MetLife Stadium or Giant Stadium or what have you. The point of the matter is, lifetime, career-wise, you could say the Giants have had the strong upper hand. But Kayvon Thibodeau, I guarantee you, he doesn't even know who Phil Simms and Lawrence Taylor is. I mean, he probably has no clue. Maybe he knows Lawrence Taylor. Probably has no idea who Phil McConkie is, and not the kid, Ladd McConkie. I'm talking about Phil McConkie. He doesn't know who Mark Bavaro is. He doesn't know who Phil Simms is. So for him to come out here, oh, Big Ben, I'm going to blow your house down. I'm Kayvon Thibodeau, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make fun of a good reporter one day, and then I'm going to tell you the next that they're insignificant and that they're not a rival. Well, wait a second. I guess that he wouldn't say that about the Dallas Cowboys or the Philadelphia Eagles, right?
Well, he can't say that about Dallas.
Because they're good.
And he's never beat Dallas.
Okay, so he's saying, basically, we don't even look at this. We look at this as a fly on the wall. We look at this as a nuisance, not a
Normally, I'd be super annoyed by that, but, like, he's not wrong, in my opinion.
All right.
We just got younger brothered by Thibodeau.
And he's young. That's how I look at it. We have not been
relevant.
That might
be a good way to say it.
Yeah, he just treated us like a younger brother. Okay. It's like, oh, yeah, that kid.
So we have three different perspectives. Matt probably has the most normal, rational perspective. I'm pissed because I don't think Kayvon Thibodeau is all that, even though he's been all of that against the Commanders. You have no problem or seemingly not a big problem. So we want to know from you guys, do you have a problem with what Kayvon Thibodeau said? You heard it. I've given you the quote. He doesn't think they're significant. He doesn't think they're a rival. He doesn't think they're anything more than a nuisance and gnat on the wall. What do you think? What do you think about what Kayvon Thibodeau thinks? It's a very different answer for me when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys in general and that rivalry, and even the Philadelphia Eagles, although that's been a lot closer over the years, and certainly in recent years, for the Washington Commanders and by any other name. Kayvon Thibodeau basically says you don't matter. Your organization does not matter. Not even relevant. What do you say? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980.
When we come back, our guy Athan in Annapolis has some updated numbers on Washington in their record against all three of their division rivals, and they're not good.
Pass that along. We will do that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Youngest in charge, the voice of Howard University football, baby. You have a game this weekend or no?
No, off weekend for the youngest in charge.
But you will be doing what? Pre-game starting at 11 or 10?
11 o'clock. 11 pre-game, o'clock. The in-game show, the post-game show.
Oh.
National Saturday. Come on, man.
It's always the YIC time, baby.
This is what we do.
Make sure you follow him on Twitter, @Nell_BTP, which, of course, you know what that stands for. You mentioned our guy, AA, Austin.
You hear that, Athan? You bald Greek. He called you Austin.
I was thinking about something else.
I can't wait till he hears that.
My bad. Athens, Indianapolis, double A. He put up a couple of numbers. He tweeted us, right? So here are the numbers that he put up. The Giants are 30-18 from 1999 through 2023 against the Washington by whatever names. The Cowboys are 33-15, 99 through 23. In the same span, the Philadelphia Eagles are 29-19 against the Commanders.
I honestly want to take it a step further, and I guess I should have did this during the break to get some math. How many games under 500 are we against our division rivals? And you said this on the phone, and I kind of like brushed you off because you're just the rooster and you say crazy things.
Well, they're 12 games under against the Giants. They're 18 games under against the Cowboys. So 18 plus 12, my friend,
30.
Is 30. Thank you. Very good. And 10 games
they're
versus 40 Philadelphia.
Games
they're 40
under
games under 500 against the NFC East since 1999.
If that doesn't show you.
Which is the Dan Snyder era and then the cleanup.
If that doesn't scream how irrelevant and piss poor we have been, then I don't know what else does.
But does it mean that there's no rivalry?
Yes!
Does it mean that you don't exist or that you've just been in an incredible period of suckage is the question.
A 24-year period is pretty bad.
I know.
I think it means you're irrelevant.
I thought they would have been better against Philadelphia than that.
How about that? I think we here locally consider these teams rivals. If you ask Cowboy fans, Giant fans, and Eagle fans, who each of their biggest rivals are, none of them would say Washington.
So it's interesting. I don't look at the Cowboys, Redskins. We've had this discussion.
Oh, Andrew Reese versus Caitlin Clark is more of a rivalry than Cowboys and Commanders.
The Cowboys-Commanders rivalry is not a thing that I view as like the only thing that matters. Like so many, you know, like there are fans that if you won those two games against the Cowboys and you finished 2-15, they'd be somewhat satisfied.
I've never called it Dallas week
or anything like that. To me, Cowboys week is just another NFC East game. It's the same as the Giants. It's the same as the Eagles. I have been consistent along that. But these numbers that double A, Athens, Indianapolis, point out, show an incredible period of suckage against all three teams. So really, that makes the argument based numerically and statistically that there really is no rivalry with any of the three teams. So it leads us back to why we got stuck on this. Is Kayvon Thibodeau right? Is Kayvon Thibodeau right that they're a bug on the wall? They're a nuisance.
We don't matter. Wow, humbling.
The numbers would show that. All right, let's get out. You want to get out to a couple of calls? Let's do that right here, right now, on the Team 980. Let's get to Smitty in Greenbelt.
Smitty.
In the leadoff spot. What's up, Smitt? How are you?
Rooster and the youngest in charge. What's going on,
fellas? Yes, sir. What's shaking, Bacon?
Hey, listen, playing a team twice a year, don't make them your rivals. You got to win some of them to make it a rival. Because if not, that's just a team you play twice a year. So it really don't matter how
I feel about it. That's a good way to look at it.
It really don't matter how I feel about what Thibodeau said. Bruce said, no matter how you feel about it. The only people that it should matter to, if they feel a way about it, when the Commanders come out there on Sunday, if they feel a way about it and they do something about it, then they can make a difference. Other than that, we just talking about feelings, man. Y'all be safe, bro.
All right, thank you, Smitty.
Hey,
good job.
And I like him putting it that way. Because in reality, we'll touch on this as the show rolls on. You may have to find a Wednesday-Thursday replacement.
If they lose
on Sunday.
Well, that's going to lead us into what we're going to talk about after the trending alert. Because is the roof caving in completely at that point, or is it just sinking in? We'll answer that coming up in just a couple of minutes. 301-230-0980. Let's get to Lou, who I think was on hold at the end of the show yesterday, if I remember correctly. What's up, Lou? How are you?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, sweet Lou? How are you, pal?
I'm good, man. Appreciate y'all taking my call, man.
Sure.
But, Big L, what's happening, man?
What's going on, man?
Did you get my text yesterday? Oh, you gave me one of those numbers.
he
Lou tried to tell me that I was doing too much. I need to calm down. I was getting too worked up.
Oh,
Lou doesn't know how to
work. Lou was doing some advanced scouting, huh?
Yeah.
No, I totally understand the concern, but I just felt like that I need a way for me to, like, when I called Kevin earlier, I'm like, I'm not understanding what is, like, the urgence of you want them to win now. Like, you got to give these guys time, Big L. You got to give them, like, when you took your job, you didn't perfect, like, you wasn't good at it, like, the first 2 weeks.
Well, I would debate that.
No, I'm not trying to go in that route, but I'm just saying, can we not give these guys maybe next season that might be the right, you know, you could criticize them or fire this guy.
It's interesting that Lou is saying this because, Lou, based on my history with you, you're fairly impatient a lot of the time. Yeah, you hated Rivera. Now, to be fair,
but
it wasn't Rivera's first year. I mean, so that's got to be the juxtaposition, right?
To me, like, the way I look at it is, like, you hire a contractor, and then you telling them to do a job, and then you're like, oh, they said, oh, I got somebody else I want to hire. You know, you're not doing
I'm not trying to fire anyone, Lou, but there's got to be progress shown. And I'll tell you this, and we're jumping at if they lose to New York, that is a sign, to me, of regression, not progress.
Big L, the guys literally just took the organization about 6 months ago. So while we, like, who the hell is the Giants, man? They've been kicking our ass for the past 20 years. So let's not, can we just worry about this? But maybe next season you could criticize these coaches or tell them to get the hell out of this town. Like, I get that. I understand that part. But right now, like, this season, I'm not putting a lot of stock on this team. Like, they come on, man. They're not good. They're not going anywhere. So don't get your hopes up high to a point. Week after week, you coming on the radio and saying all this crazy stuff. I just felt like that's my dude. I love my guy, but at the same time, I'm a fan too. I understand the urgency that we need to win now, but, like, they're not complete. They don't have a complete roster. Like, we have to understand that. So I just felt like all this, you know, the Giants been winning. You know, they've been kicking out. But I get that, man. I could care less if they come and beat us Sunday too. So I'm going to give them next season, and I'm going to hold my criticism for next season.
Lou, you're one of my favorites, brother, but what the hell are you talking about? You're not going to care if they go Sunday and get their teeth kicked in by the low-life Daniel Jones handicapped New York Giants? They're the most inept franchise right now in the National Football League. The New York Giants and the Carolina Panthers are in a class of their own in terms of being wretched, putrid, horrible. So, Lou, if you lose,
these coaches,
it's not an indictment on. It's an indictment on everybody. You don't get to separate. When to me, at least, with this, if you lose to the Giants, I'm not separating coaches and players. It's everybody's fault.
All right, I gotta break you two lovebirds up. I appreciate the sentiment because it's going to lead us right into the next discussion. Thank you. As always, that is Lou. You two lovebirds was a good way to describe that. How about you two throwing it down?
You're the only caged, birded, whatever in here.
Time for a quick trending alert right here,
Lose to the Giants, I'm going to cry.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. But the Commanders on the practice field getting ready for those 0-1 New York Giants. And yes, for whatever it's worth, how much? The betting line has gone from 3 points to Washington being a 1.5-point favorites. Of course, it is the home opener, is the debut, if you will, of Northwest Stadium, newly named. They're going to be wearing the what they call gold pants at home with the burgundy jerseys, and we will see if they come out 1-1. Our pregame coverage begins throughout the morning, 9 a.m., with Earl Forsey right here on the Team 980, all wrapping up with Doc Walker. Meanwhile, tonight, Thursday night football, the Bills and the Miami Miami Dolphins. We'll have it for you. Pre-game coverage joined in progress at 8 o'clock after talking Terps. Right here on the Team 980, the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, he is ready to go. Heading down to Miami to take on Devin Achane and the Miami Dolphins. Now, Achane was considered to be a game-time decision. NFL Network is saying he should be able to go. Raheem Mostert's already been ruled out. Hopefully, there is no pre-game fiascos like there were last week for the Miami Dolphins. Meanwhile, Deshaun Watson is basically saying that his lawyer, is saying that the plaintiff in a civil lawsuit, which accused Watson just a couple of days ago of a sexual assault and battery, is going to talk with the NFL in a couple of weeks. And he says that I've never personally had confidence in the NFL's disciplinary process, but my client has chosen to engage in it, is what Tony Busby, the lawyer for the female, said. Meanwhile, Watson once again denying statements in an issue issued through Rusty Harden yesterday. So we will see where all of that goes. And that's what's trending on the Team 980. All right, we'll get to more of your calls coming up here in just a sec. I don't know if this matters to anybody. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who folded like a cheap suit last year and somehow avoided a lot of criticism, unlike the Eagles. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who also had a sizable lead, I forget what it was, on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins and lost that game. They're going to play their home opener this Sunday against the Cleveland Browns, another team that's an absolute mess with the whole Deshaun Watson stuff. Do you know what their corporate name of the stadium is? You see this?
No.
It's Everbank Stadium.
Okay.
You know what it's going to be on Sunday for the home opener?
What's that?
Trevor Bank Stadium.
You came up with that?
No. They came up with that.
The Jaguars?
Yes.
The Cons?
The Jaguars came up with it because Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence has a corporate partnership as well with the stadium name and right sponsor, okay. Everbank, okay?
Fair.
Instead of Everbank Stadium, it's Trevor Bank Stadium.
Oh.
For Sunday. Can we win a game first before we stop playing shenanigans?
Well, Wale's performing at halftime at our game. Do we deserve a halftime performance at an NFC East game? Might as well be an AFC East game for as much as we lose. I can't believe the record's that bad. If anyone's just joining us, our guy Athan in Annapolis gave the record of the Commanders against their three NFC East opponents since 99. We are 40 games under 500. And I put it out on Twitter in a poll at NELL_BTP, big time player.
Oh, it doesn't stand for big time.
Pain in the ass, no.
Yeah. Okay.
Does Washington have a rival? I'm ready to say no.
I mean, the answer realistically and mathematically is no.
No. Yeah.
But what I'm most annoyed by with Kayvon Thibodeau is he's been in this league 2 years. He's still wearing diapers.
I mean,
I know he's kicked their ass. Shut up, kid. Shut up.
You can say this. He wears diapers against the other 31 teams in the NFL. He takes Viagra before he plays us. He'd tell you that. Somebody wearing diapers. That's more than diapers. He's filling the hell out of that diaper.
I don't know if Matty Ice liked that, but I kind of thought that was funny. All right, let's get to this before we get back to the calls. You were throwing a conniption off the air and then sort of on the air yesterday, and you said, if they go to 0-2, I'm going to be inconsolable. I'm going to be a raging lunatic. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. And basically, you're saying heads are going to roll. 24 hours-ish later, do you still feel that way?
Yeah. I actually feel stronger
you're
about it.
You're that upset if they go 0-2 in a complete... I mean, they can call it recalibrating the North and recalibrating this and
all that nonsense. Recalibrating the North is
finding our North and all that crap that Dan Quinn runs around saying.
I love DQ.
Okay, this is not... I'm just saying, there's a lot of statements and slogans and whatever... They could recalibrate their own North. If they go to 0-2 against the Giants, I will be bitterly disappointed. I feel worse for the fans than I do the team and the coaches, because the team and the coaches get paid no matter what. The fans are the ones that truly suffer, okay? Because fans treat this as a passion, not a business.
I treat it as a passion as well.
Okay. So that's why I was critical of you yesterday, basically saying, like, I don't understand this perspective that, like, you would be so distraught and whatever. I get being frustrated. I get being sad. I get going, wait a second, are we this bad? But to basically be distraught, to not be able to sleep, not be able to eat, not be able to, like, get over it. Like, ultimately,
Chris,
it's a football
game. Just be real here. This is why it matters to me so much.
And ultimately, the record shouldn't matter that much this year.
This is why it should matter, because if they lose to the GD Giants, you're staring 0-6 in the face, realistically. And that would kill our ratings.
Yeah.
That may have me out of a job.
Yeah. I'm more worried. I mean, I care more about the fans, and I care more about the radio show, quite honestly.
So,
I don't care about the players, because they get paid no matter what.
You don't care about the players. You can't say that. How are we going to get players to come on if you say you don't care?
Well,
about
I'm just saying. I mean, I don't care. Like,
we care about we care about recently paid players. That's what we care. That's what we care about.
Well, we'll have an announcement on that coming up in a little bit.
But that's why I care.
It's not that I don't care about the players. I know they're human beings. What I'm saying is they get paid,
Chris,
whether they win, lose, tie, play well, don't play well. They get paid, right? I care more about the fans' emotions, heart, the money that we invest that they invest, all that. And even if you don't invest any money, the emotions and the scars for 30 years, it's just a lot for people to handle.
And I guess what I just said a moment ago is really why I'm going so hard on it. If they lose Sunday, they're going to go 0-6 to start the season. And that, no one would have saw that coming.
I mean,
we said it was a possibility.
I said they were going to be at best 2-4.
You are a cynical industry plant. That is why you brought up.
I mean, I'm surprised you didn't break out the fact that you used to be a Giants fan.
Oh, I thought you were a Bills fan or a Giants, whatever you were. Or a Jets fan, whatever you were. But no, like, if you lose to New York, 0-6 is a real possibility. But by that time, by the time you play the Browns, Deshaun Watson may be on the commissioner's exempt list, and that would be bad news for us.
I was going to say that would probably be worse news. Although he did carve them up on January 1st, the infamous day that Ron didn't know that they were eliminated from the playoffs.
Stop it. If they lose to New York, I would probably be as miserable as I was that day.
Oof.
Because I think we all went into that game thinking, hey, man, we made the playoffs.
All right, what about you guys? Because at 0-2, lots of teams have recovered. Lots of teams have gotten off the mat at 0-2. Teams have won Super Bowls after starting 0-2. It's not the end of the world. But is it the end of the world if this team, this new regime, goes 0-2 to start? Let's get to Chris in Damascus here and keep the line moving on the Team 980. Chris, how are you?
Chris.
Hey, fine, thanks. How are you guys? I know how Linnell is. He's made it very clear. It's about him. How's he going to roll out his slogans if we don't win some daggone games?
Chris, you can't do that when I'm drinking something.
Chris, you just got a legitimate spit take right there.
Chris, you can't do that when I'm drinking something. That was pretty damn funny. I love that.
Those teams, you know, I wonder what the records are between them, not against us, you know. That was just curious. But we're not a rival. You know, we have some rivals like Cowboys, Eagles, and Giants. We got to play them twice here. I can't stand the Giants. They affect too much. I don't like – did we ever find out if that one penalty to Tampa Bay where the guy was legally down scrimmage but then wasn't and New York called in and –
They instantly reviewed that. I mean, it looked very close live. That's all I can say.
Okay. Fair enough. But anyway, and so they and why would anyone look at us as a rival? We haven't done and we're earning anything yet. We're just a welcome mat lately. So that's that. But what the heck? That's enough about that. But I have a question. Okay, so Burns and Thibodeau and Lawrence. Where's the other lineman, the big one on that Giants? But anyway.
Those are the three three. Bobby Okereke is their inside linebacker. Yeah, I mean, they've got a good front seven.
I think we ought to do, Chris, is right up your alley, I hope. I mean, go 60-40, run. Just run it. Those guys, aren't they mostly noted for pass rush? And I know we got to, you know, and goes into being a rookie quarterback and blitz passes, but I just think this is a big game to run the ball. If we run the ball 60 times, or whatever, 60%, and we might lose by two. I'm not going to snap the end of the world. Hey, Linnell, just think about you, since 99, that record, you were too young to suffer through something. So look on the bright side. I think that's about it, though.
Right,
yeah, but what
you,
do you
Chris.
Think about running the ball a little more heavily this week?
I mean, I think we talked about that,
you know,
all throughout the week. Appreciate you. Throughout the week, like at one point, Jaden Daniels had more carries than Austin Eckler and Brian Robinson combined. The problem is that point never stopped being true because that's how the damn game ended. Granted, I mean, obviously some things got away, but they had 16 carries or 16 attempts or 16 rushes by design, by necessity, what have you, to Jaden Daniels, and I think it was 14 combined between Austin Eckler and Brian Robinson. Now, Jake Gruden said the other day, I don't know if we touched on this yesterday, he said Cliff Kingsbury does not like inside zone. So you're trying to run away from these massive nose tackles, right?
Yeah.
Vita Vea that he likes inside zone. You're trying to run away from Dexter Lawrence. You're trying to run away from Vita Vea. So how would you attack if Cliff Kingsbury likes to run the ball normally in between the tackles, right? But yet it doesn't exactly make sense when you're taking on war daddies like Dexter Lawrence and Vita Vea last week, right? What do you do? Do you try and do something that your DNA or your identity is not? Because that makes theoretical sense, meaning run to the outside, off tackle, stretch, tosses, perimeter, you know, all that stuff. Or do you do what your DNA is and just try and say, you know what? We're going to nut up and we're going to man up and we're going to beat you. Or do you try and just pass the ball 35 times a game?
If you saw Sam Darnold's success against their pass defense, that may not be the bad answer.
I mean, that could be if they have a quarterback that can see.
I mean, the Giants'
defense
stunk on Sunday.
It did. Their secondary is certainly in question. All right, we got to take a timeout. Get more of your calls coming up. Stay with us. What would be your reaction? Is the season over? Would you be completely lost if they start off 0-2? That's on the table for you on the Team 980. All right, right back with you on a Throwdown Thursday. What are you laughing about?
Yo, Matt's neck, man. The way I looked over at Matt's neck was... We got to go on Instagram Live. The people deserve to see this.
I mean, let me tell you something. I just got a...
Matt loves himself. Is this the Yin Yang Twins?
Yeah.
Is Petey Pablo on this song?
No, this is just Salt Shaker.
Where's my pepper shaker?
Oh, God.
Anyway. Double A.
You make sure you don't shake it like
our, so. Our executive producer, Austin in Annapolis.
He called you Austin again, you bald Greek.
I was just doing that to bust chops. Athan in Annapolis, Double A. At Athan the Greek on Twitter says Dallas 78-46-2 all time. Giants 102-68-4. All time against the Washington franchise. And we actually have the advantage all time against the Eagles. The Eagles. 89-84-6. So maybe Kayvon Thibodeau is right. Completely insignificant, a complete non-rivalry, a complete non-factor. Maybe he's right. I just say this. You know what? Man, you're good. And you're really good against Washington, which isn't saying much. You didn't have to say that. Like, to me, that's...
It's like you said.
That's immature.
It's bulletin board material.
Yeah, exactly.
And hopefully it lights a fire under a group that had no fire.
Exactly. Let's get to... let's see here. Kevin in Arlington before the top of the hour. What's up,
Kevin?
How are you?
Kev?
Hey, fellas. Rooster Linnell.
What's up, Kev?
Give me a minute here to be the historian, if you would. Speaking of rivalries and relevance... If we're being honest, and that's what I want to be now that Snyder's gone, I want to be honest about everything we...
I love that, Kevin.
...are doing with the football program and how we view them, et cetera. But if you look at the history of the organization, it's been when we've had exceptional quarterbacking and coaching that we've won. If you look at the history, Sammy Ball, Hall of Famer, won championships in 37 and 42. Then we had a 40-year drought. You know why? We had a terrible owner who somehow is in the Hall of Fame, and Marshall. And we didn't have a quarterback that was good enough, you know. And so when did we win again? We won in 82 because we had not only a great owner in Cook, a great GM in Beathard, and a great head coach in Gibbs, but we had our best quarterback, I think, since Jurgensen, and to this day, maybe Jaden overtakes him, in Theismann. So if you're going to be relevant, if you're going to have a rivalry, you have to win. And Snyder, who is, you know, in the running for worst owner historically with Marshall, was horrible for 25 years. So, yeah, we don't have rivalries right now. It's just a fact. It happens when two teams win and play in big games and are competing for the big title. And that's why what was so unique about the 80s was we had two great rivalries in the division with the Cowboys and the Giants. And, hell, we also had NFC rivals in the Niners and the Bears. It was a special time. But we're not a rival of anyone and won't be until we establish our program and start winning. So, you know, would it be awful if we lose Sunday? It would, but it wouldn't be unexpected. I will say this. Thank you, Kayvon Thibodeau. Thank you for being, you know, foolish and immature, and I hope it lights a fire, you know, under our offensive line and everyone else who's wanting to get the W on Sunday. That's yep. all I got.
Thank you, Kev. Good call as always. And yeah, maybe they'll be saying thank you, Kayvon Thibodeau, because of the motivation or whatever. Maybe they won't. I'm sure they won't.
If you need I just want to specifically speak to the defense. If you need any motivation after what you put on tape last week, you're in the wrong business. Point blank.
I agree. I agree. 159, Team 980. We have a bunch of calls lined up. We will get to all of you. I promise we have time to do so. We will do so on the other side of 2 o'clock right here. Always live and free on the Odyssey app, along with the youngest in charge, Matty Ice, on the other side of the glass. I am merely the Rooster. Stay with us on the Team 980.